All right. Today I'm confident that most of you have heard of a man in the New Testament called Saul. Now, this man was one of the head of the Pharisees who was relentlessly persecuting the church in the first century. He was counted as one of the highest of the Jews in the land. So basically, he was close to being the top dog of the Jews. Now, Saul thought he was doing exactly what God wanted him to, when in reality, he was doing just the opposite. Then, when Saul went to the high priest for permission to go to Damascus and drive out all the Christians there, on the road to Damascus, he went through a change. He went through a transformation. And right now, we're going to take a look at the phases of that transformation and exactly when all of these sins that he's committed were forgiven of him. Now, the first phase that we're going to look at is Jesus coming to Saul on the road to Damascus. Now, before this, Saul was spiritually blind. He thought he was doing the right thing, but he was doing the wrong. So he was living his life in arrogance. Then in Acts 22:6-7, we see that Jesus appears to Saul in a blinding light. Saul is now physically blind, as he is also spiritually blind. And he hears the voice of God and he falls to the ground. And next we see in Acts 26:15, Jesus questions Saul. He says, "Why are you persecuting me?" Now, Saul has lived his whole life thinking he was doing exactly what God wanted him to. And now he gets this huge reality check telling him, "You're doing exactly what God doesn't want you to do." And next, Saul believes in Jesus because he was already highly religious and believed in God. He only did what he was doing because he thought it was right. He only wanted to do the right thing. So, now that Jesus has told him that he was doing the wrong thing, and he just pretty much witnessed a miracle firsthand, it was very likely that he would be able to easily believe in this. So, we see that Saul now believed. But were his sins yet forgiven of him? No. The next point is Jesus tells him to enter the city. This is the city of Damascus. Jesus first instructs Saul to go into the city. Easy enough. And next, Jesus informs Saul that in the city, in Acts 22:10, it will be told all that is appointed for him. Now, this verse in Greek uses the word tasso, which means to arrange or assign something in an orderly manner. Now, this can show us that God never just wings it. He's always got an orderly plan for everything that happens. And there's always a reason. Next, we see in Acts 26:19, it says that Saul did not disobey God's will. Saul did what he told him to. So, we now see that Saul had believed, and he did what the Lord commanded him. But did he still have his sins on him? Yes, he did. The next phase is Saul fasts and prays for 3 whole days. I did not mean that to rhyme. Now, I don't know if some of you know this, but he ate and drank nothing for 3 whole days. That is the human physical extent of living without water. And I can probably tell you for sure that none of you would do that for fun. So he was extremely serious about this. And next we see in Acts 9:11, we learn that he was doing this all in a house. It was enclosed. No one could see him. In Matthew 6:5, we see that the Pharisees would pray and fast in the synagogues and on street corners where everyone could see them in the open. Saul was doing this in a house, enclosed. No one could see him. That shows that he was really serious about this. He was doing it for the reasons to be concentrating on God. And next we see that he had the heart of repentance about him. He turned his attention away from himself, saying, "I'm not important. God is what is important. I don't matter." And he also refrained from drawing attention to himself, saying, "I don't want everybody to look at me and think that I'm righteous, because God is what is important. It's not my reputation. It's not about me. It's not about what I need. It's what God wants." And these were all very good things to do, right? Praying, good. Focusing on God. Having a spirit of repentance. So, all good. But we see that he believed and he obeyed God. And he had a repentant heart. But he still had his sins. He had not taken that final step. And the next point, we see that Ananias was told by God to restore Saul's sight, and Ananias tells him that he must be baptized in Acts 22:13-16. We see that Saul was immediately unblinded when Ananias came to speak to him. And this is yet another miracle that Saul was able to witness firsthand as the subject of it. Now, if you think about this, a miracle is pretty amazing by itself to see it. But to be that miracle, think about to be Saul when he regained his sight. He was blind for 3 days. He didn't know if he was getting his sight back. And then all of a sudden, Ananias comes in and says, "You have your sight back," and he sees. Or imagine if you're the lame man who was in front of the temple, and Jesus comes up and he says, "Rise up, go walk." And you can walk. For all your life, you couldn't be able to walk, and now you can. It's amazing. And next we see in Acts 9:18, Saul immediately rose up and was baptized. He obeyed the gospel. And then, and only then, were his sins finally forgiven of him. And as David said, that dirt on his car was all washed away. So now we see that Saul has believed. He did as God commanded of him, and he was repentant. And now he was baptized, and his sins were finally forgiven of him. So what was this deciding factor? At what specific point was he saved? We see in Acts 22:6-7, he believed in Jesus when Jesus came to him, but he still had his sins. In Acts 9:6, he did as God told him to, as he was directed by God, but his sins were still there. In Acts 9:9, he performed a good work and fasted and prayed all that time, but his sins were still on him. In Acts 9:18, we see that he was finally baptized, and his sins were forgiven. So, given that, can you see where the difference is? He was only saved when he was baptized. So looking at this, at what point are you saved? And to believe is an essential part of being saved. In every conversion, it's essential. But we see in James 2:26, it says, faith without works is dead. So believing alone is not all that is needed to save you. Doing good works is also an important part, of course. But Matthew 7:22-23 mentions, people will say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done such great works in your name? But they will still not be granted admittance into heaven. So just doing good works is not enough. Now, to pray is, of course, an important part in every Christian's life. But praying is not going to get you into heaven. But will baptism save you? Mark 16:16 says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. So we have our answer. Each phase of a conversion, belief, repentance, confession, and baptism, are all equally important, because without one, all of the others are void. They don't work. One is not saved by just doing one of them, or doing two of them, or doing three and skipping one of them, but only when he goes through each of these in that order. Saul was not saved when he believed or when he repented, but only when he was baptized. And we're no exception. The exact same goes for us. We have to be baptized in order to be saved. So now, if you're not saved, I'm going to say exactly what Ananias had said to Saul. It says, and why do you wait? Arise and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Thank you.